one time. Yeah.
Welcome into the bootleg version of the Bengals Beat Podcast. This is Cincinnati.com. Bengals beat writer Jim Ozarski joining you from the booth inside 312 Elm Street, the Cincinnati Enquirer. That's right. It sounds a little different already. You don't have the usual BBP intro. And clearly, I am bringing you into this week's podcast, which means we are missing the big voice on the other end, which is Paul Daner Jr. And I can't share this with you. Paul is off this week because Paul became a father. So congratulations to Paul Daner Jr. That means we had to kind of twist some things up here a little bit this week. I know last week we promised you kind of an in-depth look into the scouting aspect of the Bengals front office and how they went about finding the 11 guys they ended up picking in the draft a couple weeks ago. But obviously, life gets in the way in some fantastic ways. So congratulations to Paul. And look, there's no better way to congratulate Paul, I think, then you go to Twitter at pauldanerjr.com. First of all, say congratulations. Second of all, I think he needs you to send him all of your free agent theories and conspiracies and wondering who they can sign and what their salary cap situation truly is at Paul Daner Jr. I think he definitely needs that as he is enjoying the initial stages of fatherhood. I know that he needs things to do at 2:30 in the morning when I'm usually awake. Now Paul's the one, going to be clocking in those early hours. So, yeah, we're going to strip things down here a little bit this week. We left you off with the draft review where you heard a lot from draft picks. Paul and I kind of broke down what these picks mean. So this week, We overlapped a little bit with the return of the veterans and voluntary workouts, as well as rookie minicamp. It's that odd time of year when rookies and vets are still segregated. None of them will come together until May 23rd, the first organized training activity. So what do? That very next Monday, we go right to the lockers of all the players that either were directly affected, or in the case of Bengals second-round draft pick Joe Mixon, one of the more controversial players in this year's draft, you just want to go and get overall reaction. So we'll just get right into it. And I'll start with the reaction to Joe Mixon. And look, at every veteran in that locker room has seen that video from 2.5 years ago. No one was going to deny that. But really, it came down to Joe Mixon, the football player, in a lot of these guys' eyes. And honestly, the overriding sentiment was, obviously, no one condones or believes what he did was right back then, but they feel that the Bengals brought in a quality football player, and the conversation always turned back to that. It always turned back to what can Joe Mixon do to help them win games. And I'll hit you right away with our first voice is George Iloka. And look, George is one of the go-to guys for us media types in the locker room, and I think he summed up Joe Mixon's situation or how veterans felt perfectly. And I think it summed up how the organization wants those guys to think and talk about Joe Mixon perfectly as well. So let's just get right into it with George Iloka kind of speaking about Joe Mixon and all that baggage, I guess you could say, he brought into that locker room right away.
Speak on it how you want. Definitely wrong. He was young, 18. Doesn't make it right. I'm not the person I was now that I was at 18. So it's a kind of different scenario than other scenarios that you see in the league. So as a team, we just got to take him under our wing. He'll get treated like any other rookie will. We just got to show him the way to conduct himself on and off the field. And I think they already have a plan in place for him and things like that. So nothing really to focus on, but if he just pays attention and sees how people conduct themselves and emulates that, I think he'll be fine.
Is there a responsibility that comes with being a teammate, with helping a guy like this, with helping a guy move forward?
No, there's no responsibility. No responsibility. I feel like we have as a teammate to make his transition smooth and easy, is to not harp on it or dwell on it. Like I said, it happened, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago? I don't know. He was 18. And, dwelling on the past is not going to help him move forward. I'm going to treat him based on what I see him do now, on and off the field, things like that, and judge his character off the things I see now. I think he's a different person than he is back then. Otherwise, they probably never drafted him. So as a teammate, I mean, the easiest thing is just to treat him like any other rookie. You know what I mean? Whatever that means in any locker room. So treat him like a regular rookie. Be hard on him on the field and things like that, and expect excellence out of him like you would any other person. I think that's the best way to make him feel comfortable. I mean, I'm not going to be like, oh, my gosh. You know, obviously he was wrong. He'll tell you that. Anybody will tell you that. But I think as a teammate to help him, you know, move on forward is just for us to laugh. I'll speak about it, and I don't know what the plan they got. I don't know the plan they have going forward as a team, but it's the last time I'm going to speak on his past. But like I said, that's his past, and I hope everyone can move on from it. But as a teammate going forward, just got to treat him like a rookie and teach him the way to conduct himself as an NFL player on and off the field.
And that, of course, brings us to Jeremy Hill, the one veteran you would expect all of us to go to after the drafting of a running back. You know, that's something Jeremy Hill says he can't really worry about.
Well, yeah, it's great. It's great. I think it's great. Like I said, our running back room just got a lot better overnight, and it's going to be great to get him in here and get him working and get him out on the field, see what he can do. And I just hope our offense. I think, you know, the more talent you can put on that field, you know, the easier it is, you know, for us scoring points. That's something we didn't do and starting out in the red zone a lot last year. So the more talent we have, the better.
And speaking of that, that brings us to the number one pick for the Bengals this year, number 9 overall, John Ross. He was able to catch up with A.J. Green, who really kind of got into what John Ross's speed means. And we're not just talking about that over-the-top stuff. It's about all the other little things and places he can go and be put in Ken Zampezi's offense and what that means for a guy, even at the caliber of A.J. Green.
That's really going to help us. For me, it keeps all defense honest. You know, just lock on me. Just having him on the field just creates a different dynamic that we didn't have here in the past couple of years with his speed. You know, with Tyler and freaking Joe, you know, we can mix a lot of stuff up with those guys in slot, put Joe in slot, put John outside, or put TJ inside, put John outside. So it doesn't matter, man. These guys can play any position. So.
You feel a little bit of a Achilles offensive room maybe getting a little bit of a lift?
I feel like you know, we're definitely getting a lift. You know, when we had Marvin Moe, when they were coming to their own, and we had Tyler healthy, I feel like we're playing the best. The offense was at their best when we had Marvin Moe and Tyler. We were always on the field together, and I feel like we're getting back to that.
Unfortunately for the Bengals, John Ross was not able to participate or really show any of that type of speed or ability during the rookie minicamp. He is not cleared medically yet following a torn labrum that he had repaired after the combine. So rookie camp, pretty unexciting. I mean, head coach Marvin Lewis said Joe Mixon definitely looked like a player who spent most of his draft prep time jetting around the country, meeting with 15 teams and coaches and doctors and taking physicals and all those things. So while a lot of his peers at rookie minicamp were getting ready for their pro days and combine days or maybe individual workouts, he was flying all over the country. Marvin Lewis said he looked like a guy who's a little out of football shape. You know, but welcome to the NFL, right? If you're Joe Mixon, your head coach kind of calls you out for that type of thing in your first couple of days. But no concern there from the Bengals. I mean, they figure he'll be back in that football shape by the start of minicamp. But in terms of a couple of guys who stood out, which is kind of hard to do in a rookie camp with a lot of undrafted free agents and tryout guys, you know, tryout guys, first time in a few years, the Bengals are not signing any of them. Just not a great crop to pick from. But actually, a tryout guy from a year ago looked really good, and that's Ryan Brown, the defensive end. Made an impression last year and really looked like a man among boys regarding the linemen, especially on the defensive side of the ball, going up against, you know, these offensive guys as much as you can with no helmets, no pads and just helmets. But Marvin Lewis said, hey, look, this guy, he a tryout guy a year ago, and basically called him a grown man and a guy who, in a crowded D-line room, not sure if there's room for him in the 53, but we might see him, you know, try to make a name for himself a little bit in camp and maybe in some preseason games. So he was one guy who definitely kind of stood out a little bit, you know, in this rookie camp. a second guy who would fit that same mold as Ryan Brown would be another practice squad player from a year ago, wide receiver Alonzo Russell, who kind of opened some eyes a little bit in the preseason last year, caught a touchdown against the Vikings, I believe. Again, not a lot of opportunities, unfortunately, for the receivers with some of the quarterback play, which you'll hear me kind of get mad about later. But, the difference between a guy who spent a year with an NFL club learning an offense, working on his body, and against a lot of tryout guys, both sides of the ball and quarterbacks, again, in a crowded receiver room, not really sure if there's a place for a guy like Russell on the 53, but yet again, another guy who might flash a little bit, might get some of John Ross's early reps in the OTAs when, you know, since he can't be there, and a guy who might kind of pop out a little bit, going into these mini camps, OTA, someone just to kind of look for going forward. A third guy, you know, and Paul and I have kind of been mentioning him in the offensive line discussion, is Alex Redmond. You know, he's an undrafted free agent a year ago out of UCLA. Like John Ross, was on the quarter system. Didn't really see him until training camp. He ended up getting hurt in the preseason. Practice squad guy. But I think a sleeper to make the 53-man roster at one of the guard spots. I mean, as of right now, obviously it's Clint Bowling and Andre Smith, Christian Westerman, but I think there's some room, if you will, for a guy like Alex Redmond, and he's really remade his body in this offseason, and plays with a little bit of an edge. He stuck out, A, from a physical standpoint with the offensive line, and also because he wasn't afraid to throw in a couple shots, I guess. You're not allowed to really hit anybody, but he he put a shoulder and some strong stiff arms into some of these drafted defensive linemen and linebackers, and kind of wanted to make himself known a little bit. And actually, I got a chance to talk with Alex a little bit just about, kind of being in the guard mix and giving himself an opportunity to really show himself this training camp and preseason, which is something he didn't do a year ago. And as you'll hear here, he largely admits was his own fault.
I'm just working to be more professional in what I do and how I handle my business. So I feel like just giving myself the best,
5 years from now,
the best opportunity I got myself, because you really can't just, expect anything to be given to you. So I just, it's just every day I just try to get a little better, make sure I know my plays, and just be ready when my name's called. That's all it is. I couldn't tell you anything else besides that because, I'm just patiently waiting for my time to come. And, if it comes, then I'm going to, take advantage. If not, just keep my head down working. It's just how it is, I'm blessed to even just be here today. So, it's nothing much besides that. Just worked hard this offseason. Just kind of just keep it moving, So if they let me know, hey, Alex, you got a chance to play, So I would be more than happy to take that job, But I'm just working hard right now. I'm not really worried about it. I'm going to do rookie mini camp again this week. So just have fun with that. And, it's football, I get paid to play a game. It's easy. It's fun.
It's actually one of the same things Christian said. It was like, because last year, obviously I know his situation was different with being drafted and everything, but he's like, I wasn't active, and he's like, it was about learning how to be a pro.
Right.
So what did that kind of mean for you, I guess, to go through all the last year and then approach this offseason? Because I think this time last year you signed, but couldn't come because of UCLA. So, so what did you learn to go into this year, I guess, to kind of be ready for an opportunity?
I mean, it's just pretty much knowing the system, knowing your plays, knowing your angles on blocks. In college, I really didn't do much of that. We just kind of wake up that Saturday morning and get after it. I really didn't worry about it too much. But it's, you're a professional now. It's totally different. Like, I need to know everything, because if not, I'm putting myself at a disadvantage, which I was before. And so this year, I'm trying to make sure that that's not a thing. I've been in my playbook every day, every night. So, just patiently waiting my time. I know my time's going to come eventually. And so until then, I'm just going to keep working. So my first opportunity to show us up is this week in our rookie minicamp. You know, it's a little, got a little chip on my shoulder because I have to go prove, you know, what I thought I did all season long during, you know, during practice. But you know what? It's just another opportunity. So I'm open for it.
Just finally, you're in a unique position to know what the first round pick John Ross is going to go through, because he's in the same situation with Washington. He can't come here
right
until late. So what is, having lived it, what is that like, I guess, to show up in camp and everybody had done workouts, had done these things,
knows
had
the
done
plays.
What is that going to, that kind of learning curve, or what is that going to be like? I know positions are different, but just
right
in general, to kind of like walk in end of July, essentially.
I mean, definitely people are going to be like, you know, your teammates, the ones that are like trying to, you know, trying to get on the team that are here, they're not gonna really look at you real friendly because you pretty much got to skip all that time and be with your family and friends and stuff while they were here having to work. So I would just keep an open mind if you can, just talk to the coaches and just make sure you're just update with the plays, because if you hear it and you're going over in your mind, once you get your body out there to do it, you'll get out there and just it'll be second nature if you're in your playbook enough. But for me, I don't know, it was tough because I wasn't in the best shape when I came, and so I just wish I would have came and, you know, came back in better shape than I was to give myself better opportunity. I think that's why I got hurt in the preseason, because I wasn't in the best shape I could have been. But I don't know, just keep your mind right and just like I said before, just keep rolling with it. There's nothing much you can really, you can't really do much about it. You know what I'm saying? So I would just contact the coaches and see all that you could do. But just something that I wish I could tell younger me what to do. But you know, it's what it is.
So, you know, it's interesting. You know, you hear about guys learning about being professional, learning what it's like to take care of yourself as an NFL player. You know, it's definitely an interesting thing, and you know what, it is definitely the smarter choice to do such things. And why is that the smarter choice? Well, because you got to make smart choices when it comes to, you know, getting yourself looking good, getting right. Part of that is the Great Shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door with Dollar Shave Club, the smarter choice. I use it. Why? Because I'm lazy and I'm always looking for a good deal. So it's an awesome life hack, no-brainer choice. You do not have to run to the store to get the razors that are either A, too expensive, or B, too cheap, and you hack up your face and then no one wants to talk to you. And you don't want to spend a fortune with some of those other gimmicky type of things, because look, that's just not what you want to do. So when I use a Dollar Shave Club Executive Razor, plus the Dr. Carver shave butter, the blade just gently glides, giving me a smooth shave. My wife loves it. And, you know, hey, Paul's not here. I say I look a little better than Paul sometimes when I use the Dollar Shave Club. I'm just saying, now the top of his head looks good. I think it works, you know, Dollar Shave Club up there. But why? Dr. Carver shave butter, transparent for a more precise shave. It helps prevent ingrown hairs, fights those razor bumps. That's why PDJ's head is so smooth all the time. You also can make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. So for a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor and a tube of the Dr. Carver Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few dollars a month. In your first month box, you get a awesome weighty handle, full cassette of four cartridges, and a tube of the shave butter. After that, the replacement cartridges ship automatically at the regular price, right to your mailbox. Also, you get some emails letting you know when they're coming. There are no hidden fees, no commitments. Cancel anytime you like. And because you listen to the Bengals Beat Podcast, even the Bootleg Bengals Beat Podcast, even that, you get a deal. Join the club today at dollarshaveclub.com/beat. dollarshaveclub.com/beat. You can look as smooth as PDJ, the top of his head. And, you know, maybe you look as good as me. I don't know. Maybe not. But that is a smarter choice. And then, you know, along with making smarter choices was Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict this offseason. I was able to catch up with Vontaze this past week. And if you follow him on social media, you saw his Instagram stories of him working out all summer, some of his diet stuff. And honestly, Vontez, it looks good. You know, I know a year ago or even 2 years ago, coming off the microfracture surgery, coming off, you know, last year where, you know, he knew he was going to be suspended. He also suffered a foot injury prior to camp. You know, just never looked right, never looked fast. You know, coaches wondered and radio analysts wondered if he was overweight. Never really looked right, you know, and you know, so he admitted, hey, this offseason was a big one because first and foremost, it was one of the first times in a long time, specifically since the training camp of 2014, that he was able to train like a healthy football player and train to do football things as opposed to rehabbing a little bit. So let's bring in Vontez Burfict a little bit, talking about, you know, what those rehab type situations meant, you know, for him in a bad way in the last two seasons.
It's a setback, for sure. It set me back for pretty much, I would say, 2 years, because coming in, you know, you're not able to nurse your whole body how you want to, so you get other injuries. So, you know, this offseason I was able to focus on all the little muscles on my body and conditioning and, you know, doing all types of yogas and stuff like that. So I feel great. You know, I came in great shape and just here to try to lead the team.
So with that, I asked Vontez what his goals were during his workouts this offseason, if he had any.
No, I don't have no goals. I have goals for the season, yeah, but in the offseason, I just wanted to just fix my game, be a better leader, show up to everything on time, get stronger, faster. And I would say I did all those things. So, and leader is still in motion. So.
Okay. The next question, which is, you know, about his contract. He, along with Jeremy Hill, but probably more on the same plane with Tyler Eifert, homegrown guys that are up in a contract year that the Bengals typically approach with extensions in training camp or in the preseason. But like Tyler Eifert, you know, Vontez Burfict has missed some time the last few years. You know, it's a question. Does the team want him to prove it for 16 games and you get to, you know, the offseason going into 2018 for him to sort of reprove himself or to prove he can stay healthy for the bulk of a season? But, you know, it's one of those things where he's going to be asked about it. So I did. I asked Vontez Burfict about how, you know, where his headspace is at with entering a contract year.
And this is that year. Do you think about your future here, the long term, and wanting to get something done, or where are you kind of at with that whole process? You know what I mean?
I don't think about it. You know, I just come here day by day, and every day I come here just try to get better, and just like I said, be a better leader, and everything else will play out for itself. Yeah.
You know, and that's the right thing to say, and I think honestly, most of these guys are going to say that. The Bengals don't really get players who sort of publicly stump for contract extensions. Look, they all do. They all want their money. They all feel they've earned it. I think what helps the Bengals in a lot of ways is if you look at a Drake Kirkpatrick, if you look at a George Iloka, specifically the last 2 years, guys who, you know, maybe didn't get the offer they liked from the team to start a year, played the year out, had good seasons, stayed healthy. They're about to hit free agency, and what happens? The Bengals step up and pay market value, maybe even pay them a little above market value in some instances to keep them in Cincinnati. And I think Vontez Burfict falls into that category. You know, Paul Gunther, we know how he feels. Marvin Lewis, we know how they feel. Look, if Vontez Burfict plays 15 games at the level that he did in his Pro Bowl season, which, let's be real, as 2013, it was a while ago. But if he can get to the level, let's just say of that wild card game against Pittsburgh where he was the best player on the field, you know, up in, you know, for 59 minutes and 36 seconds, whatever you want to call it, Vontez Burfict, you know, dominated that game in all facets. And if that's the guy that the Bengals are going to get for 14 to 16 games this season, I have a hard time thinking they would let him walk. You know, there'd be fair concerns, I guess, with you know, maybe fans or front office wondering, well, what happened these last 2 years? You know, why did the contract year sort of pop, and can we trust that going forward? But look, that, you know, and conversely, Vontaze Burfict may look at some of the other bigger linebacker numbers on the league the last 2 years and say, hey, you know, look what I just did. I'm going to test the market. I want to see what's out there. And you know, there are some points that we've seen with Marvin Jones, that we've seen with Andrew Whitworth, where, you know, some team might overpay. I think what makes Vontaze and the Bengals a unique mix is because of his on-field personality, because of the fact that he's sort of on the list now, or he's under the commissioner's watchful eye. I'd be curious to see where else, what other teams or coaching staffs would you know, welcome him in. But look, you know, this goes back to Jay Gruden and Mike Zimmer and Hugh Jackson and now Vance Joseph and now Matt Burke's a defensive coordinator in Miami. I mean, that tree is growing. And who's to say, you know, who knows if this defense – look, if Vontaze Burfict has a phenomenal season and that front seven with Kevin Minter and Carlos Dunlap and let's say Jordan Willis pushes Michael Johnson and – this defense is a top 10 defense all the way around. Paul Gunther's in that interview mix for head coaches and things of that nature. So, you know, a lot can change in a year, but I think if you're a Bengals fan, you have to feel real good about A, how Vontaze Burfict looks when you see him on social media. And then when you're going to see pictures from our guys, Kareem Elgazar, Sam Green, when they're in OTAs, but also what you just heard there, that he's sort of, you know, if you want to call it rededication, I don't know, but maybe realizing some things in terms of wanting to play longer, realizing he's missed a lot of games and kind of changing up what he can do to be better. I don't, you know, I will say this, he does look different than he did at this time the last 2 years. And as he said, a lot of it has to do with the fact he's been able to work out to that end. So, you know, now we're in kind of this weird space of, you know, there's one more week of voluntary workouts left, and then you get the OTAs where guys can really get after it and get to work. And you know, so it's about sort of transitioning into that 2018 team. And what does that mean? And who are these guys and forming that identity? And I think last year they never quite found it. I think that's an important part of this particular season, this particular group, offensively, defensively, is who are they, establishing those identities on offense and defense. I think, you know, for a veteran group and a core group on both sides of the ball, you know, a coaching staff put on notice, you know, when the head coach does not get his annual extension, you know, there's there's a lot sort of happening. This OTA, there's a little bit of pressure, you know, and you've got some new blood, some younger legs that can push some guys, and it'll be interesting. So, you know, again, another week of voluntary workouts, OTA start May 23rd, and Paul is not here to talk about what makes him happy. I guess we can all agree what that's going to be next week, but I will let him have that. You know why? Because I can't be mad next week. I can't kill that vibe, but I can be mad this week. And I'm going to stick to the football field. Usually I like to go off field a little bit, things that make me mad, you know, like non-dairy creamer and semi-truck, all these things. You know what? No. Something with the NFL made me mad this week, and that was as we're watching some bad football throws. They weren't even passes; they were throws in this rookie mini camp. Look, the guys tried really hard. They looked a little better Saturday, the two tryout guys they brought in. But the NFL has a rule where if you are part of a practice squad, for a couple years, if you are active for X amount of games, you are not allowed to participate in the rookie minicamp. And I bring this up because there was a third quarterback on this Bengals roster all of 2016, a Jeff Driskel. The team doesn't know anything about him. We as media members don't know anything about him. He was claimed from the 49ers right before the start of the season, carried on the roster all year, serve as a backup to the backup in case AJ McCarron ended up getting traded at any point. Obviously, that didn't happen. So here's Jeff Driskel. Hasn't run the Bengals offense, hasn't called plays, hasn't thrown to routes that Bengals receivers run in this offense. What better way to do this than with the rookies? Second-year player, active only one game as a receiver last year, and he could not participate at all. Marvin Lewis kind of shrugged when I asked him this question. He said that, you know, the rules are the rules. There's really nothing you can do about it. But in this league where quarterback play is so bad throughout half the league, and here's an easy mechanism for guys to get valuable work under coaching staff. Look, I understand the NFLPA is trying to protect veteran players, but I think, you know, in an instance like this, or like William Jackson III, or even Andrew Billings, to be honest, guys who had their rookie years totally wiped out, or in the case of Jeff Driskel, just never played, never had an opportunity to even really practice running the offense. I think you're just missing something there, and I think the league is doing itself a disservice by doing that, and the PA isn't really helping itself. Because I think those guys, if you want to talk about players with longevity and earning a contract with the team they're on or elsewhere, you know, that's some valuable time. And let's be real, it's just bad. I mean, I got some shoulder thing. I can't throw the ball more than 20 yards. And look, some of these dudes were struggling. They're struggling. So that made me mad. Look, after the draft and the come down, I know that wasn't my strongest, what makes me mad this week, but, you know, it's just, it got to me. It did. I don't know what else to say about that. So, look, it's been a fun week here in Cincinnati, especially with Paul Daner Jr. becoming a dad. It's a cool thing. Very happy for him and his wife. Appreciate you dealing with the bootleg BBP, kind of missing some of the fun things that Paul can do. As the main producer, we miss his voice. He will be back in the near future, and you know, we'll get back into our regular rhythm. So I appreciate you. A little shorter, but you know, it's a bootleg. You know, it's like on the early days of eBay when I bought like all 17 albums of unreleased Tupac music. Don't worry, I went and bought the real stuff when it was released officially. I support the artist and label, all that stuff, and his mom, all that stuff. But, you know, it's like the same thing, you know. It's a little different, a little weird, but, you know, it still works. So I appreciate y'all for listening. And, you know, there's really no better way to go out of this very odd, stripped-down bootleg BBP than with Nas, because I'm in this booth, no PDJ, and there's only one mic.
One time, yeah, yeah, yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one front, my face on the front page, only if I had one girl and one crib, one God to show me how to do things the sun did, pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip I'll make a flip, writing names on my plotting, mad balance, who I'm gonna this hood politics, acknowledge it. Leave bodies up in garbages. Seeds watch us grow up and try to follow us. Police watch us roll up and try knocking us. One knee I duck. Could it be my time is up? With my luck, I got up. The cops again. Bus stop glass bursts. A fiend drops his Heineken. Ricocheting between the spots that I'm hiding in. Blacking out. Eyes back. Getting hit. This is my hood. I'm a rep to the death of it. To everybody, come on, little. This grown hood rats, don't abortion your wound. We need more warriors soon. Sent from the stars, sun and the moon. And it's leaving victims from doctors. If you really think you're ready to die, with doubt, this is what Nas is about. The time is now.
All I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, one mic. All I need is one mic, one mic, one mic. That's all I need. All I need is one mic, one mic, one mic. All I need. All I need is one mic, one mic.
All I need is one page and one pen, one prayer. Tell God, forgive me for one sin. Matter of fact, maybe more than one. Look back at all the hatred against me. All of them. Jesus died at age 33. It's 32 between 16 apiece. That's 32, which means one of my was holding 17. 27 hit your crew, 6 went into you. Everybody gotta die sometime. Hope your funeral never get up. Tear through the innocent, nothing is spared. Roll up from wheelchairs, my heart is racing, tasting revenge in the air. I let this slide for too many years, too many times. Now I'm strapped with a couple of too many to die. Really with me, get busy, load up the. Do more than just hold it, explode it till you empty. There's nothing in our way. They bust, we bust, they rust, we rust. Flying, feel it, I feel it in my gut that we take these the wall, lie them down, cause we stronger now. My the time is now.
All I need is one mic. That's all I need. That's all I need. All I need is one mic. There's nothing else in the world. All I need is one mic. That's all a nigga need to do his thing, you know. All I need is one mic.
All I need is one life, one try, one breath, I'm one man. What I stand for speaks for itself. They don't understand and want to see me on top. Too egotistical, talking all that slick the same way these do. Wonder what my secrets is. To move on you only if they know what your weaknesses. I have none, too late to grab them. Cause I'm a fool. Thought I wouldn't have that done. Fooled you. What you call an infinite brawl. Eternal souls clashing. War gets deep. Some beef is everlasting. Complete with thick scars. Brothers each other up in prison yards. Drama. Where does it start? You know the block was ill as a youngster. Every night it was like a cop of me. Body found in the dumpster. For real a hustler. Purchased my range. Throwing dirt on my name. Jealous cause fiends got they working to plain. Left me cause they thought I was finished. Should've knew she wasn't true. She came to me when a man caught a sentence. Diamonds are blinded. I never make the same mistakes. Moving with a change of pace. Light a load. See now the king is straight. Swelling my melon cause none of these real hurty were telling police how can a kingpin squeal. This is crazy. I'm on the right track. I'm finally found. You need some soul searching. The time is now.
All I need is one mic.
One mic.
All I need is one mic. That's all I ever needed in this world. Cash. All I need is one mic. Cars. The jewelry. All I need is one mic. Spread my voice to the whole world.